Right, let's pray, shall we, and just ask the Lord's help as we come to this chapter in Joshua. Bless you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that there's lessons for us to learn, even from times so, so long ago. I praise you, Lord, that your word is living and active, more sharp than a double-edged sword, and, Lord, much more effective. We bless you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, your truth that sets us free. Grant us your grace and blessing now as we turn to your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we've come to Joshua chapter 23. It's Joshua's last address to the leaders of Israel. And the principle is passing on the torch. Joshua passes on the responsibility from himself to the leaders in Israel. And one of the things, well, passing on the torch, you've heard of in relay races. What's the most difficult and the dangerous bit of the whole race is passing on the baton to the next person. And this is a strategic point in time for Israel, when Joshua finally passes on responsibility from him. As he received it from Moses, Moses passed it to Joshua. Joshua is now passing on the responsibilities of leadership to the people, to the leaders in Israel in that time. So, we'll look at the chapter in a little detail, and it starts with this. After a long time had passed, the Lord had given rest from all their enemies around them. Well, a long time, we can calculate from the dates of the individuals that it's talking about, it's probably around about 25 years later. That's 25 years of them settling into the land and taking up residence and so on. They want to thank God, basically. God had given them rest from their enemies all around them. Do you thank God for the good times?
Yes.
I hope you do, yes. Because God can bless us. He had blessed these people. He said he gave them rest. That they didn't have as much aggravation as they're going to find later on. You'll find this in your Christian lives. There are good times and there are difficult times, are there not? Well, you trust the Lord in all of them, but thank the Lord for the good ones as well. So this is a good thing to celebrate here for them. Joshua, by then, old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials. How old is he now? Around about 105 years, possibly. That's a pretty good run, isn't it? He actually lives to 110 years. So we have a few more years to go, but round about this time. And he calls together all the leaders. He can't call the whole nation together now because there's lots of people. But in order to communicate with everyone, he calls the leaders together. He calls them elders, leaders, judges, and officials. So there are different kinds of leaders. And I suspect he's called people from the east. You remember on the other side of the Jordan and on the west. So he's got them all together, the leaders. They're the national leaders, tribal leaders of the different tribes, and also civic authorities, the judges and the officials, probably kind of policemen I read somewhere, whatever they were. These were people who had responsibilities in society. And he's going to tell them a few things to pass on. And he said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. Well, how about that? He's prepared to face facts about himself. And are you prepared to face facts about yourself? Are you getting old?
Yeah.
It's a good thing, you know. Isn't it? Well, the alternative is you stop going and you stop getting, you know, stop breathing. Joshua is realistic. We have to be realistic about we are, the way we are. As you get older, you're not quite so fast and things like that, aren't you? Yeah? This is a promise for these younger ones, you know. Yeah? I'll just share with you one thing that Dr. Roger Moore said years ago. I said to him, as you get older, time goes faster. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not true. Roger said that's not true. He said it's not that time goes faster, it's just that everything takes twice as long. Well, there's a possibility anyway. Anyway, Joshua facing facts about himself. He's an old man and he's thinking of the future. And I just want to share with you, what's going to happen when I'm gone? That's got you worried, hasn't it? You know, we're none of us here forever, but it's the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ continues, but there we are. We have to face these things. And he said to them, I am old and well advanced in years, You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Well, he's realistic about himself, but he's also realistic about what they've achieved. All their achievements, and they did a lot of fighting, there was a lot of struggle, but Joshua says, all our achievements are ultimately down to the fact that God was working with us, and working for us, and fighting for us. Give the credit where it belongs. God did the work through them. Of course, that's one of the important things you need to remember, you know. God works through you. He doesn't work in spite of you, in that sense. You've got to cooperate. But anyway, God gets the glory. That's what he's saying there. And then we've got a map of Israel here, all the areas that were been given to them. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the lands of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Great Sea and the west. Notice, interestingly, the order he put it in. What did he say in the previous verse? God did it. And then he says, I did this. Just remember, I did this because God did it first in me. That's his way he's working. Man's role in God's work. And their inheritance was this land. Have you got an inheritance?
Heaven.
Yes. But we've got an inheritance now. Here's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 talking about it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's blessed us now. There's just plenty more to come, that's all, yeah? So we have an inheritance. And whose inheritance was it? Jesus passed it on to us. We're in heirs with him. That's what we talk. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. So Joshua is saying, if the job's not finished yet, there's still more to do, there's more land to be occupied, but we've broken the back of it, in that sense of resistance, yeah? But he says, God's going to work in you and through you. So you've got to move forward, folks. Yeah, it's no good just looking back. Moving forward. Look forward. It's now, and what he's really saying is, it's not my job anymore. It's over to you. You've got it to do now. Right, so Joshua's done his bit, and he's saying, it's your role now. God will drive them out of your way. Not my way anymore. So I've got lots of S's for you. How about this? S to remind you of all sorts of things. They're sound advice for a future success. This is practical advice that Joshua is giving them about how they're going to have to carry on. Bless you. Just as the advice and the commission was given to Joshua from Moses, he's passing it on to them. And so he tells them, first of all, be very strong. Does that mean to say they're all muscular?
No,
it doesn't. No, it's not about going to the gym or anything else. That's nothing wrong with going to the gym, I suppose. But it's all about being strong in terms of your character, your desire and willpower to do God's will. That's what it's about. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 we're told, you then, my son, Timothy, and you, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hold on to the grace that God gives. So that's really important. So you've got to be strong. S number 1. We've got six of these S's. Right. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. So, next one is, you need to submit to the scriptures. Yes, God's word. Be careful to obey God's instructions that are written in the book of the law of Moses. Moses received them from the Lord. And something I want to point out that's really important, and you may not be aware of this, but one of the problems with Orthodox Judaism is that basically they believe that there's the law, the Torah given by Moses, and then they talk about the oral law, the bits that were never written down but have been written down since. They do not exist. It's commentary. It's not scripture. Jesus had problems with this. And so Moses wrote down, and we're to follow what Moses wrote. Right? What is written in the law of Moses, he tells them, you do it. Right? So that's what we've got to do. Submit to the scripture. Then, He says, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. So there's still peoples around that they're not to associate with, because there's the possible contamination of learning their bad ways from those that were still there. Solomon slipped up on that one. He gave Proverbs, you know, and there's one that turns up. Bad company corrupts good character. That's Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You've got to separate, right? You can't mix with the wrong crowds. That's the point. Solomon learnt, unfortunately, that way. What did he do? He took on a lot of foreign wives and learnt their ways, unfortunately, and worshipped their gods. We're to be separate. But does that mean to say we should start a monastery and all go into the cloisters? No, it doesn't. And for Joshua, they're living amongst communities and peoples they've got to keep separate from. But how does it apply for us? Well, I want to read to you a little passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, just a few verses. This is how it's meant to apply for us today. Same principle, you have to be different, you have to be separate. But listen to this, verse 9 it starts. I have written to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy, or swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world, because they're everywhere. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. Well, Paul was having to deal with some rather difficult situations in Corinth. But he's saying is, look, you know, you can't leave the world. There are people out there, you have to work with them. You know, you meet them in the shops and things like that. But don't take up their habits and their lifestyles. We need to be separate. Joshua tells these people, don't mix with the wrong crowd, because it'll do you harm. And then he says, don't invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. Don't serve other gods, worshipping them. Yeah? Because idolatry is dangerous. It seriously damages your spiritual health. Yeah. And what are the world's gods today? You know, do they have, well, in some parts of the world, they've got their wooden and metal gods all over the place. Go to some parts of India, they're all around you, aren't they? But what are the gods that people serve today?
Money,
power, yeah, you know, all those sorts of things. Self, usually self's at the end of it somewhere, you know. Yeah, me, my and mine, but okay, we've got to watch out. It's God has got to have first place. Worship is to be reserved for God alone. Someone's put it this way, you know, in our world, in what we do is, we use people and love things. It's the wrong way around. We use things and love people. That's what the Christian way is supposed to be anyway. So don't serve the other gods. And this one, super glue. Stick with the Lord, he said. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. That's good, isn't it? They've been doing okay. So he says, keep it up. Stick with the Lord. You're keeping it up. You're running a good race. Stick with the Lord. Interestingly, how do you recognize what's of the Lord? And I've got a little test for you. We can recognize the genuine by not examining the fakes, but by a deep study of the genuine. If you want to stick with the Lord, stick with the Lord, study him, worship him, serve him, rather than trying to find out what all the alternatives are. Yeah? Because you'll not learn a lot from learning about the idolatrous stuff. If you wanted, someone said this, you know, how do you test it? How do the people test whether there's a genuine banknote or not? They've got all these sort of little things built into them now. But the person that's meant to be able to detect a fake banknote, do you know what they do? They spend hours and hours studying the real thing. Rather than looking at all the fakes, study the real thing, and then when a fake turns up, you'll say, ah, that's different. Yeah? Therefore, what I'm saying is stick with the Lord, trust the Lord, learn him, his ways, learn his word, and then you'll be able to detect the fake stuff that's around. He's saying, hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. And then he says this, the Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. So this day no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs a thousand, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. So he's saying, just remember what God's done. Do you look back sometimes and thank God for what he's done? Remembering what the Lord has done. We can use the past to motivate and our present and set our sights for the future. God's been like this in the past. Is he going to change? No. So we can trust him for the future. And they had experienced a God-given victory because he promised it. As they trusted him, he delivered as he said he would. And so he said, so be very careful to love the Lord your God. So he said, whatever God's done for you, all the things that God's blessed you with, so now, what should your response be? You're to love him. And that loving is a matter of gratitude, yes, and commitment to him and affection. And I want to say this, this is really important. Are you getting this? Listen. It's not so much what you do, because people can be very active in the church, doing things for God, and yet somehow the love for Jesus is not always what it should be. Jesus had to say that to a very, very wonderful church, a church called Ephesus. Read Revelation chapter 3. The church in Ephesus were brilliant. They could detect fakes, no trouble at all. They tested and found out there were fakes around, and they'd rejected them. They were very zealous for the things of God, and Jesus commends them for it. But then Jesus says one thing that is really cuts the heart of it. He says, I've got this against you. You've forsaken your first love. You know, if you're doing what you're doing because you have to do it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're doing what you're doing because you love him, then that makes it all so much different. So love him is the most important thing. And that's what Joshua is telling these people. Thank God for what he's done, but make sure that turns into a loving response to him. But, there's a but. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. So he's warning them of the slippery slope, the dangers of socializing with the idolaters. If you ally yourselves with them, you mix in with them, and then it gets a bit nearer, you start marrying them. You share in marriage with them. And then eventually what happens is you start learning their ways and you start worshipping and serving their idols. There's a warning in Psalm 1. You know Psalm 1, do you? Blessed is the man. Let me just read this psalm to you. It's the same slippery slope he's talking about. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Notice the progress. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He's been going along with them. He's been associating, socializing with them. And then he says he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He's joined them. He stood there, and then he learns their ways, sitting in the seat of mockers. That's what Joshua is warning these people. Don't go that way. Slippery slope, a very nasty one. But he says this, but if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. The results depend on how you behave. That's really important. There's human responsibility. This warning isn't simply given just to scare them. It's to remind them that we have real choices that have real consequences. I've got news for you. I'm sure you know this. Life is not like a computer game. You know, on a computer game, you press reset. Can you? Back a few lines, you know, or undo. Those sorts of things. Very useful on computers. Doesn't happen in life. Consequences come when you make choices. And he's saying, just watch. The choices you make will have consequences. Human responsibility. he's saying is, you can't serve two masters. You either go one way or the other. And your response will determine how God treats you. You go with him, you get blessed. You go against him, you're in big trouble. And the thing is, sometimes when you want to go your way, God may just give you what you want.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing. Remember in the wilderness, we're fed up of manna, we want meat, right? And Moses is told by God, he says, you tell them, they're going to get meat, they'll have so much it'll be coming out their ears. Yes, anyway, he may give you what you want, trust the Lord to do what he wants. Yes. Instead, if you go the wrong way, instead they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So he's saying, there's the danger. You will suffer. There will be painful discipline will be coming. And one of the sad things he says here, that they become snares for you. You know what a snare is? It's danger in disguise. It's a trap, but it's disguised. And I've got some fish hooks for you there, dressed to look as nice, tasty little insects. What's the fish do? Thinks, oh, this is good, and gets caught. And danger comes in disguise. And I've got here, little sins, when we tolerate them, give the devil a foothold. Yeah? It may start small, slippery slopes, nice and smooth to start with, you know. But as the long process of their rebellion would result in the ultimate loss of their land, their possessions. And ultimately, they'd lose the blessings of God, and finally, finish up out of the land altogether in exile. That's a long way ahead, but that's the track of disobedience. That's where it finishes up. What do you think of those thorns? They look rather nasty, don't they? Why is Joshua using these terms? He said it's painful, it's going to be dangerous. Watch out, don't go the wrong way. Now, I am about to go the way of all the earth, he says. Yes? What does that mean? He's about to die. He's got 5 more years, probably, but we're guessing on that one. But he's got his funeral plan, has he? Come and see Dennis for the funeral. I know, yeah, well, there you are. No, maybe not. Unless the Lord returns, I'm going to have one as well, you know. But a faithful man can face death with faith. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Joshua says, I'm going the way of all the earth. Everybody dies, that's the case, yes, he says. I'm no different. But he knows where he's going. That's good, isn't it? He's made his peace with God. He knows things are right with him and his maker. He can go forward in peace. The world's frightened of dying, isn't it? You know why? That's why some of these sort of top brass, you know, they're all doing research into longevity and how to keep going forever. Yeah. In a good way, I mean, not cronkified, you know, but, yeah, well, I got news for him. It's not going to work, but I'm going to live forever. Are you going to live forever?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That's because you believe in the Lord Jesus. That's different. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord your God has given you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. So he says it twice, so they get it in stereo. Yeah. God has kept his promises. And he says, you know, you've seen it. God's been faithful in all that he said he'd do. You can look around you and say, dum. God's done it. There's the evidence of God's goodness in front of your own eyes. Can you see God's goodness? Things that he's done for you? Right? Well, there's one lovely little example just here this morning. We've got Joy here, and she can hear me. What do you think of that? Whether that's a blessing or not, that's another thing. But you can hear. It's good, isn't it? God's goodness. God's goodness. Give us eyes, Lord, to appreciate the things you do for us. Well, Joshua is saying, as you look around, you can see God's being good. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from this good land that he has given you. So he's saying, beware of God. Don't mess with the Lord. Yeah. He's really saying is, since God keeps his promises, His threats aren't empty words either. God means what he says, and he will do what he says if you go in a certain direction. Yeah? If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. So that's the warning he's saying is, the covenant that you made with God carries clauses that deal with the violations. If you want to find out, read Deuteronomy 28. It's a chapter called The Blessings and the Curses. There are blessings and curses which they had pronounced at Mount Ebal when they entered the land all those years before. On Mount Ebal they pronounced the curses, on Mount Gerizim they pronounced the blessings. And he says the curses are there and they are important. And he said, if you break these things, then that's what you're going to get. And he talks about, he says, you've heard of the covenant of the Lord your God. The word Lord there is that special name for God, often spoken of as Yahweh. It's the name that God has as this covenant name, the way he entered into a relationship with his people. And he calls him your God, because he's the personal God for this people. Right? Can you say the Lord is your God?
Yes.
Because it's important. When David spoke, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, you know, you can have as much of God as you want, and you still not, there'll still be plenty left for everybody else. Yeah. But he says this, if you break these commandments, if you break the covenant, then you will find out that God is angry at sin. It says, God's anger will burn against you. Do you know God gets angry? He gets angry at sin. And I'm glad he does. Because sin's a terrible thing. It's messing up our world. God is angry at sin. And I've got news for you, brothers and sisters. If it's not removed from you, you're going to feel its consequences too. Praise God, Jesus died and gave his life as a ransom for us. There's forgiveness because Jesus has paid the price. Have you received the price that he's paid for you through faith? But there is also this side as well. If you tolerate sins in your life, even as a believer, there will be consequences. Our Father will discipline us. That's what he's telling us. Oh, should have showed you that picture. Do you know what that picture was? That was Adam and Eve. What happened to them when they disobeyed? God kept his promise. You're out. Yes, God keeps his promises. Right, so finally, was the flame passed on? Did Joshua do a good job? Did he pass on the responsibilities to the next generation? Well, in Judges chapter 2 verse 7, it says this, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. It worked, didn't it? He did pass it on. Have you read the book of Judges, though? After that, it went down, though. Passing it on to the next generation is a big issue. And obviously, they didn't. They fell into the evil ways. You know, passing on to the next generation, our kids and so on. You know, it's important to pass on the faith. Right? It really, really is important that we share this good news. People need Jesus. Passing it on is what it's about, brothers and sisters. And I'll just encourage you. What's one of the best ways to pass it on? Is you live it and it's real for you. And then people say, what have they got that I haven't, that I want? Pass it on. Because it's real. And so finally, can you remember all those S's? Well, I've got something to say that's good news too. In the new covenant, through faith in our Lord Jesus, believers are not under the curses of the law. That's good news, isn't it? Yes. All those curses were carried by Jesus. You don't have to take them anymore. But you need the Holy Spirit to live for the Lord and to fulfill his purposes. Because you will face discipline from the Father, because he loves you. But the six S's still apply. Right? Let's see how they go then. Be strong in the Lord. Submit to his word in the Bible. Separate yourself from sinful ways. Serve the Lord, not idols. And stick with him faithfully. And here's a promise from Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Yeah? If you abide in me, what will happen?
I could
invite you around to our house, you know. We have a conservatory there, and it's full of grapes that are coming into ripe. They're not there yet, but there's loads and loads. It's a real bumper year, this one, it would seem. Yeah? And I've got news for you. Yeah? If I chop one of those grape branches off, I'm not going to get grapes off it. There'll be sour grapes, there'll be rotten, shriveled grapes in the end. But what do I have to do to get ripe grapes? Leave them on the branches. Yes? Leave them on the vine. Right? And Jesus is making this point. Abide in him. Stick with Jesus. Yes, that's the really important one. Stick with the Lord and you will bear fruit. That's good news. And Joshua is saying, more or less the same to all the people. Yeah? You stick with the Lord, you'll have success. Yeah? You'll do it with the Lord's help. So that's your message for today. Stick with the Lord. You can't go wrong. That's right. Let's pray. Bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit's enabling to be faithful to you. Oh, Lord, keep us from evil. Keep us from sin. Grant us your mercies, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.